Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Starting in verse 8, the Word of God says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." The Word of God says, hear the instructions of your father, and don't forsake the law of your mother, for they will be an ornament of grace to your head. This is a loaded passage. Today we are going to continue in the series about success with God. This is the third part. The Word of God says that if I hear the instruction of my father, and here there is not just talking about hearing it and then just kind of letting it go in one ear out the other. Hear and appropriate. How do I know that it says appropriate? Because of verse 9. Hear and appropriate the instruction of your father, and don't abandon the law of your mother. Don't do it another way. When the law of your mother, the law of your mother is not necessarily, although it can be, talking about your biological mother, and the father is not necessarily talking about your biological father. It's talking about that which God has given. The instruction of God, perhaps is given by your biological father if he is a man of God, spirit-filled, or by your pastor, anyone who is your spiritual father. And your spiritual mother is the Holy Spirit in you in this application as it is imparting life. It's going to be an ornament of grace to your head. Ornaments make you beautiful. That's what ornaments are for, to beautify us. The instruction of your father and the law of your mother, when heard and appropriated, make the Christian's life beautiful. It gives you beautiful thoughts. But they're not just any beautiful thoughts. It is an ornament of grace. That means it gives you beautiful thoughts in grace. Beautiful thoughts of grace. It's talking about thinking with grace. And thinking with grace is that very thing which gives me a beautiful life. It makes me a beautiful individual. Thinking with grace is absolutely required for success with God. Apart from thinking with grace, there is no success with God. Well, what are we talking about when we're dealing with thinking with grace? Grace is first of all a government in Hebrews 4:16. Grace is a government. Now, that government, not only does it make my life beautiful, in other words, the word of grace taking over my life makes my life beautiful, taking over my thoughts makes my thoughts beautiful. If the thoughts are beautiful, all the elements of the soul become beautiful. The fruit becomes beautiful. You know what it's talking about? It's flowers. Thinking with grace makes my life like flowers. Fruit is flowers. It's a type of flower. Thinking with grace makes my life beautiful. It makes my life into a sweet aroma before God, and an aroma of life unto life and death unto death in 2 Corinthians 2:15 or 16. It makes my life that which introduces life to those who have none, and introduces the cross to those who don't have it either. Thinking with grace is also a chain upon my neck. Now, there's a twofold meaning here. On the one hand, it is a chain like an ornament, again, to make me beautiful. But on the other hand, it's talking about my volition. It makes my choices beautiful. Thinking with grace, hey, folks, ladies, let me ask you a question. How much does an average woman spend on makeup to make herself beautiful? A lot of money, right? Thinking with grace makes you beautiful. I know a woman who thought with grace. Physically, she should not have been an attractive woman. She just didn't have the features. Her mind made her attractive. The way she thought transformed the way she appeared. And though she did not have the features to be a beautiful woman, thinking with grace made her attractive. Ladies, you want to be attractive women? Learn to think with grace, and you will be beautiful. Gentlemen, do you want to be handsome men? Learn to think with grace, and you will be handsome men. Why? Because it's not about your physical characteristics. I know women who, and men also, but women, it's a little more of an obvious example, I think. I know women who should be attractive, but they are not. Because they don't know how to think with grace. There is no governing principle reigning in their lives apart from themselves. Apart from self-satisfaction, there is no governing principle reigning in their hearts. But grace is a throne. And when the grace takes over the mind and the thoughts of the mind, and the doctrine becomes governmental, the person's physical life, physical appearance, and the characteristics of that person's life become very beautiful. God takes the ashes and He gives you beauty for the ashes. What do you think that is about? It is thinking with grace. That is how your ashes turn into beauty. You think with grace. Thinking with grace is key to success with God. Because apart from knowing how to think with grace, I don't know how to think at all. And if I don't know how to think, how in the world am I possibly going to be successful in anything, much less with God? Can you imagine a mechanic who doesn't know how to think about a car? Perhaps a mechanic who's never been trained to think about cars, and he doesn't know, he looks at something, he can say, yeah, that's a muffler and that's a radiator, but that's as far as his thinking goes. And he doesn't know the connection between the radiator and the muffler and that which is in between. He can't think it through. Do you think he's going to be a very successful mechanic? Or can you imagine a surgeon who does not know how to think about the anatomy and the physiology of the patient that he's dealing with, how to reflect on that individual and their lifestyle and their problem and come up with solutions for that individual, and he goes to the operating room, what do you think is going to happen in his operating table? If I don't know how to think in grace, I will not be able to function as a believer, because I may see the components, but I won't know how to put the components together. I may see my need for the Word, but my need for the Word will be meaningless to me, just like a radiator is meaningless to someone who is not a mechanic, except that it has some kind of liquid in it, and if you don't have the liquid in it, you're not going far. Try to fix it though. Thinking with grace is key to success. Because unless I know how to think with the unmerited favor of God, unless I know how to think with God's expressed character to me, Unless I know how to think with the mentality of God when I face the challenges and perhaps the failures of my life, I cannot be successful. Why do you think the righteous fall and get up again, but the unrighteous, they stay in their failure? It's not that the righteous are perfect, it's the righteous know how to think in grace. The difference between David and all the others was David knew how to think with grace. Saul did not know how to think with grace, and therefore faith obedience became an impossibility for Saul. You see, if I don't know how to think with grace, I may try to outwardly conform to what I know about the Word of God, but my conformity will be fleeting because it will not be sustainable. It will simply be an outward production with no inward source. And that will fail me eventually. Now maybe I'm stubborn and strong-willed and I can keep it up for a while, but it will fail me eventually. And get this, God will make sure that it will fail me eventually. Do you know why? Because He wants thinking with His mind, the mind of grace, to be my source. He does not want me to have any source apart from the way He thinks for my thoughts. Yet we believers, we don't get that sometimes. And though we may be sincere, and though we may have an earnest desire for God, apart from thinking with grace, we have no gas in the engine. Apart from letting the Word of God produce God's character in me through the Holy Spirit, I'm going nowhere as far as success goes. Thinking with grace is absolutely imperative, because if I'm thinking with grace, then I'm thinking with heaven. There is an alternative to thinking with grace. There are two thrones the Bible talks about. In Psalm 94, it talks about a throne of iniquity. So I know that there is a throne of grace and that there is a throne of iniquity. The two are both mutually exclusive, but if I do not draw near to one, I draw near to the other. Jesus said, if you are not for me, you are against me. If I do not draw near to the throne of grace, I am drawing near to the throne of iniquity. So when I neglect the way that I think, to think in grace, when I neglect to appropriate that which God has given me, when I neglect, when I fail to appropriate His mercy, or when I am lonely to appropriate His comfort or His love, when I fail to appropriate His loving kindness, even though I may feel very bad about myself at a certain time, I'm not thinking with grace and I'm drawing near to a throne of iniquity. Why did the failure take place? The failure took place because they stopped thinking with the governing principle that God had given them, that's called grace. When they stopped thinking with the governing principle that God had given them, what came in? Guilt, shame, and fear. So I can think with grace, or I can enjoy my fellowship with guilt, shame, and fear. But that is one or that is the other, because guilt, shame, and fear are the manifestations of the throne of iniquity. So I either draw near to God or I draw near to the enemy, but I'm drawing near to somebody and I'm not in no man's land, and get this, I'm not drawing near to myself or to you either. It may look like it, but it's not. I was told recently that I have a double. Somebody somewhere, I don't even remember where, I think it was on some program or something, some kid told me about it. So this person looks just like you. It's exactly like you. Oh, some movie. He died in the movie though. So it wasn't me. He said, it looked exactly like you. It wasn't me. You get it? It looked exactly like me, but it wasn't me. It may look like you are drawing to one thing, but you are drawing to another. It may look like you are simply drawing near to a collection of Spirit-filled believers, but in fact you are drawing near to God in that. Or it may look like you are simply drawing near to a good time with the unbelievers, but in fact you are drawing to a throne of iniquity. It may look like you are drawing near to one person or one thing or one circumstance, but in fact you are drawing to a throne. And you can draw near to God, and by drawing near to God through thinking with grace, you are drawing away from the throne of iniquity, away from the enemy's plan for your life. By the way, did you know the enemy has a plan for your life? He does. The enemy counterfeits everything God does. God has a plan for your life, the enemy has a plan for your life. God has people to offer you, the enemy has people to offer you. God has a way of doing things, the enemy has a way of doing things. It looks like self, it's not, it's the throne of iniquity. I think it's interesting what that young fellow told me that time when he said he had read the Satanic Bible. And do you know the number one strategy that the Satanic Bible outlines? Be self-oriented. Don't be evil necessarily, don't be wicked necessarily, don't be horrible necessarily, be self-oriented. Why? That is the throne of iniquity. What did Lucifer do? In Isaiah 14, I will be as the Most High. I, self-oriented, have a self-oriented goal above you, God. I will be self-oriented, throne of iniquity. What did the Savior say? Not my will, but thine be done. Throne of grace. Who won? Who won? In the world, they say, go after yourself, look out for number one, do it your way, follow your heart, go for what you want, don't let anybody stop you. Throne of iniquity. They mock the believer. They mock the believer, say, I'm going to follow God, I'm going to give up the world, I'm going to give up the ways of the world. Young people who are giving up things like dating and alcohol and all this stuff, immorality. Young people who give these things up to gain godliness, and the world says to them, you lost. The world is a sucker. Why? Because Satan lost. The throne of iniquity lost. The throne of grace won. In Revelation 12, Satan was kicked out by God's order, by God's government, as the angels were operating under the operative of God. Satan was kicked out. He lost. He was the number one sucker of all time. He saw God face to face. He was the covering cherub, and he ends up in hell for eternity. He lost. So, let me ask you guys a question. Pay attention. Which horse are you going to hook up your cart to? Self? Are you going to think in grace? You know, if I'm a gambler, and I'm not, and we don't believe in gambling, but if I'm a gambler, and if I know the results of the race, if somebody says to me, the number 8 horse won, the number 2 horse lost, would you like to bet on number 2? What would you say if I said, yeah, I want to put it all on number 2? What would you call that person? A sucker! That's the only way to describe them. It's a sucker. Bought into a bill of goods that was obviously a losing deal. That's a sucker. Too many Christian suckers. The world is a sucker by definition. But the believer has no need to be a sucker. But isn't that how it works? Isn't that what we do when we get self-oriented, self-conscious, think with the throne of iniquity rather than thinking with grace toward our lives? What does it mean in a practical sense to think with grace? I think with God's Word. Doctrine becomes governmental. It becomes categorical. I think with God's Word for all my circumstances, and I know what God says regarding all my circumstances. Do you see why you need the Word of God? Without the Word of God, I'm a sucker. Because I have no opportunity to think with grace. I only have an opportunity to think with the throne of iniquity. Hook up your cart to the right horse. If you know number 8 wins, bet on number 8. If you know that you got 10 horses in the field and 9 of them have broken legs, bet on the one that doesn't. Don't go betting, but you know what I'm saying. Think with grace. What does grace say about you? What does the world say about you? What does self-orientation say about you? Self-orientation usually tells me something like, you're no good. You're a train wreck. You can't do it. Not possible. God doesn't come through. You will fail. What does God say? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. What does God say? You're precious in my eyes and I love you. He says, I made you perfect in Christ. He said, you're seated above in heavenly places. I don't know about you, but I like the one message better than the other. Think in grace. Think in grace. Think with a throne of grace where grace becomes the governing principle of your life. What does grace look like? I get into a difficult circumstance. I get into something that challenges me. And I cling to God's promises. That's thinking with grace. I don't just cling to them desperately. No, I have complete and full hope and assurance in God's promises. What is wisdom? In Proverbs 4:7 it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with it, get understanding. What is wisdom? Knowing how to apply the Word of God. That's wisdom. If I don't have the Word of God, I don't have the essential ingredient for wisdom. How do I apply nothing? Wisdom is knowing how to apply the Word of God. Get the Word of God and get the leading of the Holy Spirit as He's giving you the Word of God. How do I get the leading of the Holy Spirit? If you lack wisdom, James said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to them liberally. So if I don't have wisdom, I ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, as I'm reading these passages, turn them into wisdom for me. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and you don't even know how it happened, you know how to think. You know how to make decisions. You know how to approach a circumstance. You know how to approach a challenge. You know how to approach the trial of your faith. You know how to think. You don't know what to do, learn how to think. And you'll know what to do. But I have to make a decision and I don't know what this decision is. You don't necessarily know the choice, but you know the decision. What is the decision? I don't know the choice. Holy Spirit, help me here. And I have a promise. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and He will direct your path. Thinking in grace. Do you get it? Let grace be on the throne of your heart. Not condemnation, not law. None of those things. Why not law? Isn't that what thinking with the Word of God is? Thinking with law? No, absolutely not. It's thinking with the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is truth. Mercy and truth go together. Read it in your Bible. Look it up in your concordance. Countless times it's mercy and truth, mercy and truth, mercy and truth. But what if I'm in sin? Or what if my neighbor or friend or whatever, family member is in sin? Mercy and truth take you out of iniquity, the Bible says. So I know that thinking with grace is thinking with mercy and truth. Not truth apart from mercy, not mercy apart from truth. Mercy and truth. And now there's a government in my life. Hey, let me ask you something. Have you ever been in a situation that's too big for you? Have you ever been in a situation where you look at it and you say, there's no way I can do this. I can't see my way through this. Wouldn't it be nice to know there's a government in your life? Wouldn't it be nice to have someone on the throne of your heart who knows the answers? Wouldn't it be good to know when you're confused or in a decision or struggling that someone is in charge of your life and not you, who knows the way that you should take? That's thinking with grace. Thinking with grace makes me an overcomer. Thinking with grace makes practical the fact that I am seated above in heavenly places. I apply the Word, I apply the promises, I apply the heart of God. And I have a government in my life through the quickening of the Holy Spirit simply because I've asked Him and I believe. There's one problem though that believers sometimes face. There is no such thing as thinking with grace apart from believing the Word. Faith is required for grace. Didn't the Word of God say it must be of faith so that it could be of grace? Faith is required for grace. You know what the helmet of salvation is? Thinking with grace. Thinking with grace delivers me in all my troubles. And it doesn't matter if it's troubles that I brought on myself or troubles that somebody else has brought on me or troubles that are simply natural disasters. Thinking with grace delivers me from my troubles. Knowing the right thoughts for the right circumstance. The thoughts of God as He sees my life. And when I have those thoughts, I have thinking with grace. And the person who knows how to think in grace, how to have grace be the throne of their heart, becomes an extraordinarily successful believer. Amen?